The Grey's Anatomy After Show is back tonight, and we're going back to the Stone Age in just a minute.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hello, everybody. It is Grey's Anatomy Season 14, Episode 8, Out of Nowhere. And I am your host, Kelly, and it's a two-girl team tonight.
Yeah, it's just us tonight. Yeah. We're gonna get this thing talked about. I don't know what I'm saying right now. But I'm Elle Marie. You guys can find me on Instagram and on Twitter at Elle Marie TV.
And you can find me at Kelly with an IE079. And no computers, a bunch of hackers tonight. Can you imagine?
I don't know how to handle that, clearly. Like, it's affected me right now. Like, I don't know what to do with my life.
Bitcoins. You know, it's really funny because somebody was just talking to me about this new company idea that they have about, you know, bitcoins and virtual money and all of this crazy stuff. Who knew 4,000 bitcoins is $20 million?
Not much. Like, I knew it would be more in real money than $5,000, but $20
million? $20 million. They're locked out of everything, medical records, the blood bank. Like, this is no joke. It's, you know, really a serious cyber danger.
Yes.
And you think about it, and it's pretty interesting how we kind of, like, take for granted all the technology and everything that everybody's so dependent upon. I mean, even us now, like, on the internet, like, streaming live right now. I mean, if that didn't, you know, exist, there'd be no platform. What would we do? But this, you know, not being able to get into medical records, not knowing, like, what patients are getting, what medicines, not knowing, you know, they're electrocuting, you know, trying to, you know, do crash carts on patients that are not dying.
When they did that one guy, I jumped myself because I knew he didn't need it. I was like, I felt that. I don't know why. Like, I'm feeling everything from this episode. I don't know why. I'm just really in touch with my feelings tonight. But yeah, that was it could have been dangerous because luckily it just kind of shocked him and it hurt him a little bit. But, you know,
I mean,
that's a lot of electricity you're putting through someone's body that and they don't need it.
Yeah.
Like, it could have reversed and did the opposite and stopped, you know, his heart absolutely. And things like that.
Yeah. It's really crazy and it makes you stop and think, you know, if you are in a situation like that and, you know, even though they were making a joke about it, you know, Kepner is the one that kind of made the Stone Age joke. Yeah. But, you know, if Dr. Weber wasn't around to tell them how it was before the, you know, age of, you know, tablet medical records, I mean, a lot of them would have, you know, been twiddling their thumbs and not had any idea of what to do.
They would have been
and that's
stuck.
Interesting, too, with school, because when you're going through classes and you're learning all these things, you know, I think all of the old school ways are not as common anymore in the classroom, it seems, and everything's going to, you know, kids nowadays are taking laptops to class in elementary school and, you know, kind of doing everything digitally. And, you know, how do you, you know,
everything
most people
is digital.
Like, give a kid a map, they wouldn't know what to do.
Oh my gosh. It's so funny. I saw like a meme on Instagram or something. It was an old school telephone. Like, they were like, kids like in a few years are not even going to know what that is or like how to work it. Like an old school phone that you just pick up and dial
that has
out.
Like a cord.
Yeah, that has the cord and everything. And they're going to be like, what? Like, you know what I mean? So, yeah, it, like, technology is great. But at the same time, I think we need a balance that we can't depend on it, you know, solely because things like this can happen. One, they can malfunction and they're subject to an attack, you know, a cyber attack, hackers and things like that.
I mean, do you agree with Bailey's assessment, like just wanting to just pay them off and just deal with the consequences of that later?
Once it got crazy, I did. At first, when she wanted to do that, pay them off, and then when the FBI, because the FBI came in, I guess they must have known about the attack. Someone called them. I don't know. They just came out of nowhere. And because everyone that's in charge of the hospital seemed like they didn't know that they were showing up. So that seemed weird to me. But so the FBI is there, and their reaction to it to say, like, well, if they find out that you've given this money, they'll just go like on an attack spree and, you know, target all these hospitals because they know that they'll be able to get the money. So I was like, well, that does make a little bit of sense.
Right.
So as if, you know, as long as you guys can kind of get this done in an amount of time that no, we don't lose anyone, then fine. But then it was getting down to the wire, especially with the little boy, Frankie, literally down to like a split decision. So now it's like, okay, you know what, let's risk it. If they're gonna attack other hospitals, all well, but I have to save the people that are here, the people that are here now.
So it's really interesting that there was no plan B. There's no backup, there's no paper backup. It's all electronic. So once you know, there's no electronic data,
there's nothing. That's it. And I'm surprised that they completely went away from paper charts, especially for like, for them, they haven't really been using the digital platform that long. You know, maybe like a few seasons. So for a few years, but for the most part, you guys are all on paper. So you guys have transferred all of those records into the digital form. Like, I think that you should always have some type of backup. You know what I mean? Yeah. So even if it was a backup server, though, you know, so even if it wasn't on paper and it was a backup server, okay, fine. But you can't, with technology, you can't rely on just one thing.
Right. Like something that's not networked. Mm-hmm. So like that you're talking about, like in the, what does she say? Like the NICU, like all of those monitors were not on networked yet. So those weren't affected. Mm-hmm. So I guess like having that separation, and it's crazy that you have to think like that and that people, you know, would do something like that, and you know, all those innocent people, and like just, you know, just for money. That, you know, it's so crazy. Just trying to find the one, trying to figure out what this one patient had, what medicine they were given, and not being able to know because somebody got it passed off to somebody else, that got passed off to somebody else, and nobody wrote it down. Right. And as soon as they got locked out of the records, it's, you know, that's life and death. It's crazy. Makes me like rethink everything I have. Like, I mean, I can't even think of a phone number that I know off the top of my head anymore.
The whole time I'm watching this episode, like, I can't believe you guys like are just depending on these computers. Like, I can't believe, because that's something so serious,
right?
I was just like,
and I'm honestly surprised that they only evacuated one patient.
Yeah,
that was interesting. Mm-hmm. Or at least that's all they showed.
Yeah. Well, I guess they were starting to probably decide to evacuate more. So that's what I was saying. It started to get down to the wire.
Yeah.
Like in the beginning, when it wasn't that dire to, you know, evacuate all the people, to make that decision, let's go ahead and pay them off. You know, okay, fine. You guys have some time.
Right.
It's not that hectic yet. It's a little crazy because people are panicking, but we're still in a safe area. But once we started going past that, it was like, get the people out of here, pay them off, do something. We have to do something.
Right.
So.
And the FBI was just not working fast enough. Just not going Bailey's fast like, enough. Bailey's
like, whatever this is you're doing, I know you can do it faster. The guy was like,
screwing off the cap to your thermos is not what you should be doing right now.
Not right now.
Not the best use of your time right now. Okay, let's take a break from that for a second. Let's talk about this awkward elevator ride with Arizona, Owen, and Karina. Yes.
And Kepner in the back. She's like, awkward. Yeah, totally.
I like Owen and getting a little fun action.
I like him too. I mean, I like that he's doing his little thing.
Yeah.
Poor thing. He's one of those people that I feel like really can't handle it. You know, you have some friends that can like handle the hookup life.
Yeah.
And you have some that can't, because like she said, Karina was like, every morning he tells her, you know, this is just for fun. And with someone like Karina, she gets it.
Right.
So it's just Owen, like, he's not totally comfortable with that, but he kind of wants to do it just to kind of, you know.
He's very much like the marrying kind. All he really, you know, we know deep down.
He's a good guy.
He wants his family with his kid, and he wants that whole life. But, you know, he's having fun with it. I like that he's embracing that. I need to see some positivity in his personal life. It, like, kills me that it's always so sad. Between, like, his, like, sad personal life and Meredith, like, dying every other episode. Like, those are the two that, like, gave these poor characters a break for
a second. Like, please. Like, next season or the second half of this season, can we give Owen a real relationship? Next season, can we give him a child?
He needs a kid. Like, somebody please give that man a kid. Like
Shonda.
Please give that man a kid. One of the other interesting, there was a lot of patients this episode that we got to know a little bit. Mm-hmm. There was the women that were trying to do a natural birth at home.
Oh, yeah.
I can't, like, I have
Peggy
so
and her partner.
Much respect for any woman that does a natural birth, first of all, but at home without any, like, real, you know, not even, like, the idea that there's medicine around. Yes. Like, that's very brave.
It is, you know.
It's very, very
brave. I guess they think, you know, they did it back in the day.
Yeah.
You know, in the Stone Age. Before they had all this medicine and things like that. So that's what always goes through my mind when I think of women who want to do a natural birth. Like, I feel like they probably think, like, it's been done. And so then I can do it.
Right.
But, Listen, I go through it once a month. I'm like, I can't handle this. I know I couldn't handle.
No, there's no way.
I could not handle a natural birth. But yeah, so they decided she changed her mind and she couldn't really take it at home either. So right. She wanted to go to a hospital to get the medicine and things like that.
And unfortunately, she went on the worst possible day where there's no medicine available. But you know, she did it, and you know, becoming a new parent has to be such a scary thing, and I liked that they showed kind of mm-hmm. that in a very real way.
Yes,
I feel like that happens more often than not. Mm-hmm. That you know, you think like in, you know, in theory, yes, having mm-hmm. a family could be like amazing and all that, but when it's like down to like I'm giving yeah. birth to this child, all of a sudden you have to be responsible for another human mm-hmm. being. It gets a little scary.
Yeah,
and I really liked kind of that moment between Arizona and that character just kind of like really saying, mm-hmm. you know, going like, yes, it's scary. Yes, you're a terrible person or whatever is happening. But as soon as you meet this child, yeah. all of that goes away.
Yeah.
And that was like such an endearing moment. I thought and it was so cute.
Yeah, because I like that they put that in the character's dialogue to say like, I'm like a horrible person. I'm not selfless. Like yeah. I am, you know what I mean? Like I'm still a selfish person. I'm still all about me. I am not that caring, that giving, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? So how can I have a child? Because you have to be all of those things.
Right.
And I'm none of them. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I can understand that panic because I feel like as women, most people look at women like they're just born to nurture and want that.
Right.
And sometimes you don't always, you don't always have that gene already. You know right. what I mean?
Yeah.
And it happens possibly once you actually have the child. Mm-hmm. So like I'm haven't had a child, but when I say I can relate just in the beginning of it, like her saying like I'm selfish, I am mm-hmm. you know what I mean, like yeah. I'm not the kind of I'll see a baby like oh cute so you know what I mean, so like I can relate to the fact that she just didn't come equipped like ready to oh my god I'm so excited to meet this right. person and you know what I mean, because yeah. that's real, some women are like that.
Yeah, and no then, it's very interesting, you know. My sister just had a baby mm-hmm. like my amazing niece just yeah. turned one and aww. she's crazy but it's really interesting just to kind of see, you know, because I always used to joke with my sister like you mm-hmm. know she was like a brat and super yeah. selfish and whatever but kind of watching that transition
yeah
is really like nice because it does it completely changes you and even me, like I'm a super selfish, you know, I'm super selfish, I don't have patience, like any of that stuff, but it's interesting how that, you know, it changes to a certain yeah. to a certain extent, but I get to kind of give her back, so
it's like not all
but
the
I love her to pieces
mm-hmm. So when she was in like giving birth, like once mm-hmm. she wanted to leave because the power went out. And she's like, okay, this was a bad idea as right. well. So let's move. Let's go someplace else. But it was too late. The baby was crowning. It's time to go. Like yeah. this. We can't go anyplace else. So Karina was, I guess she was down there to deliver the baby. But mm-hmm. to be honest, my first thought was like, is she going to do something?
I thought that kind the same of, right? thing. I thought she was going to try to make her like orgasm and like too. Get the baby out faster.
Same. I was like, oh, this is awkward. But
I really thought the same thing. That's really funny. I'm glad that it wasn't that.
Me too. Because I didn't know how I was going to feel about it. I was like, I don't want this. So I didn't go that way. So yeah. that was good. But that was the first thing that popped into my head when she kind of went down there. I was like, oh.
But it also showed the difference between kind of like a nurturing personality versus mm-hmm. someone that isn't, like even between Arizona and Karina, just
right.
like how to handle that patient. Because mm-hmm. that's one thing that she said. And Arizona was like, you got to kind of pick and choose right. when you're going to kind of like throw that info out.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that's another thing too is, you know, sometimes you have to, when you're dealing with people, it's kind of like change yeah. things that you would automatically think and kind of put yourself a little bit more in their shoes mm-hmm. to kind of be able to relate better, to just have better patient care.
Right.
So it was really interesting kind of see that from both sides, from the patient side and from the doctor mm-hmm. side.
Yeah.
But all worked out well, and they yes. had a beautiful, beautiful yes. little baby.
She did. She fell in love instantly.
She that did. Was so sweet. She did. It would have been terrible if she didn't. She'd be like, you liar! And then we have a poor woman that needs her spleen removed.
Oh.
First, never broken a bone. First time to the hospital. Again, worst day ever to end up there. Mm-hmm. And Meredith picks like the worst intern to be on our service. Poor Schmidt.
Oh, poor thing.
I can't deal with that guy.
Did you notice like he had a band on his glasses
yes,
now
ever
so
since.
That they don't fall off again? It's like, oh, he's cute though.
I can't. I'm not really vibing with any of the interns.
I actually like him. Really? All the other ones I don't like. In my notes, these new interns suck. But I like him for some reason. I don't know. It's just, I feel like
they feel bad for him since Joe woke up in his apartment. I feel like that's all it is. I feel like it's just sympathy.
I think so.
I don't know. I'm not liking this group. I'm not liking them at all. Like, I don't feel compelled to want to get to know any of them. And the whole DeLuca storyline with that one girl, I can't.
It is so annoying. I don't know how you guys feel about it. I don't like the whole, like, knocking of the. As many sex scenes as they had in Grey's Anatomy, they've never done that. And then, like, with them, two characters we don't... Well, I mean, I like DeLuca, I like Andrew, but I don't care about his love life or sex life or anything like that. So to have it that out there, like, that blatant, where people we don't care about... I'm uncomfortable with it, Grey's Anatomy writers. No. You know what I mean? I don't like it. So why do you really are bringing it to our attention that that's what they're doing? And just have them come out the room shuffling themselves and getting themselves together. That's enough.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't like anything about that storyline either. Maybe it'll be different as it gets explained a little bit more. I don't know. But as of right now,
Yeah. Because even the part where they were like, oh, we shouldn't have each other's numbers, because they were like, share cell phone numbers because they had to turn some of their phones in when the FBI got there. And we both looked at each other like, so? We don't care what you guys are going through.
I mean, from what we got from the last episode and a little, you know, that she broke his heart.
Right.
So he's, you know, I don't know. I kind of got a thing that maybe she did follow him there. Maybe she's trying to play it off like she didn't.
She might have.
I don't know. Whatever it is, I don't like it. Anyway, so back to the patient with the spleen issue. So we're in the in surgery, and Meredith's using a camera, and all of a sudden, you know, Schmidt is talking about what if everything goes out? Right. There's no plan B. What are we going to do? So she starts to freak out a little bit, and then lo and behold, of course, that happens. The power goes out. And not only does she need blood, but she can't see now. She has to completely open up this patient. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, that's another thing. There's no blood. What are you going to do? And she's got a human blood bag.
Poor Schmidt. Like, I think it is the sympathy.
And of course it's him. Of course it's him, right?
He was like, his little hand was like kind of shaking. Like, I'm O negative. Poor thing. But with Meredith, though, because he did say that, she freaked out a little bit. But I feel like it was smart for her. So when she said, like, well, let's open her up because what if the camera does fail, things like that. But then she went back like, well, no, I think she felt like she was letting him make her panic.
Right.
When in actuality, it was just like he brought something to your attention. Mm-hmm. And I felt like she should have went with her gut with that, because then she still would have ran into those issues of the blood and things like that. But I just felt like it maybe would have been more of a smoother transition.
Maybe not to, chaotic as it was happening.
Yeah. She had just kind of follow her first mind. Like, you know what? This can happen again. This might go out again. Let's just open her up now.
Yeah.
So we can kind of...
I mean, something has to be said with just going with your gut. Sometimes you just need to go with your gut because, you know, you always have to go back to it anyway. So you might as well just go with it the first time. Go with it the first time. But, I mean, we'll see. We didn't really get to see how that kind of wrapped up. But it looks like that's going to be okay, hopefully. You know, he's going to lose a lot of blood, poor thing. Mm-hmm. But that, you know, that was a smart solution. So luckily that there was someone in the room to be able to handle that. And then we've got the father-daughter that just met.
Yeah.
You know, that's also, you know, you meet your long-lost father, all of a sudden there's a trauma, then he's got to be moved, and then that helicopter ride. Like, what was happening in there?
It was so much was weird. First of all, you're having this weird conversation in front of the patient like he's not even there. Mm-hmm. Two, it's like, and you know, when they were in the elevator going to, you know, the roof to go to the helicopter, and they were talking about, you know, when Jackson met his dad, because Maggie didn't know that he just met his father recently or got reunited with his father after a long time. And so they start talking and where he grew up and the club, you know, whatever like that. The what are they called? What's the name? Clubs?
The country clubs?
Yeah. Yes. The country club. And then he said, so Maggie was like, well, no, I didn't go there. I worked there, Jackson. Like, duh.
Yeah.
She's like, we're from different families. And he's like, thank God for that. And I was like,
Can't they let that go?
Like, I know we keep talking about, like, you know, they're trying to fish it out. if they want to put Maggie and Jackson together, but I'm not here for it. Like, okay, yes, you guys are from different families, so technically you are not biologically related, but you're still brother and sister now at this point.
Right.
So just, like, be in the family and accept it. Love each other that way. Just love each other like that, you know? But it was weird, you know? Yeah. So he was like, oh, I don't. And so Maggie asked him as well, like, what did you mean by that? Mm-hmm. And is that when the.
That's when the thing burst. There's blood everywhere. Yeah. And it just kind of like. So maybe that's like, you know, like the universe. That should be a sign.
It's yes. Like, stop.
Everything about
red means
that.
Stop. And it was a whole bunch of red.
Yeah, there was red everywhere. So just stop. Like, yes, just stop it.
Because it was also weird when, before all that happened, and she got a little nervous about the helicopter ride, and he grabs her hand, and it's like, yeah. I didn't feel anything there. I wasn't excited about that. It's like, oh, let her hand go.
Yeah, I was like, no.
I don't know. The only romance I want to see right now is Owen. And I think once you guys give me something for Owen, then maybe I will be open to other people in their relationships. But right now,
yeah,
that's my focus.
Well, and I think I like where Joe and Alex are. I think Joe and Alex are in a good place. I thought it was like really cute that she was like rehearsing her chief resident speech with him. And, you know, they have like a good little banter. Yeah. And, you know, and I think that he's kind of, you know, they have kind of worked through issues. He's working through his and. I think they're in a good place. So I like
I
to
do
see
like
that.
Them too. Yeah.
Yeah. I like forgot to see about that.
I guess since they're kind of established and then getting right back on a good path.
Yeah.
They slipped my mind as far as relationship wise. Yeah.
But Bailey, what about Bailey's relationship and her? What does she call like some imbecile? Because he wants to be a firefighter.
Yeah. And then I'm like, what are they going to do with Warren's character? Because they showed him in the very beginning, like the opening scene, just running around again.
Right.
And that was it.
Yeah.
We didn't see any more of him, so.
But we did find out that they are using him going into that field as a fellowship.
Right.
That he, so maybe that leaves a door open for him to be able to either do crossovers or come back, or depending on how that new show does, you know, maybe we'll see a little bit of both of that.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to see him completely go.
Right.
Just because I feel like it's important for that relationship to see that.
Same, yeah. I was like, I don't want to see that relationship fall apart either.
Yeah.
So.
Because, like, it's just, like, you can't be like, a successful doctor and have a relationship.
Right?
Come on.
Can somebody be happy on this show?
What else do we have? I mean, there was like the big climactic thing at the end, but
yeah, I'm gonna wait till we get there. Karev and the little boy, Frankie, I believe was the character name for the little boy. And I love seeing Karev when he has a peds patient and he's so cool with them because, like you said, he's working on himself. We know how far he's come as a, you know, with his character development just from the very beginning of this series, just being like the tough guy and things like that. And to
and
see
his
him,
patient relations.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so now to see him so caring and protective of these kids is just so sweet to me.
Yeah.
And especially
and all the single moms, yeah, they're hot for the doctor.
And at first I felt a way when he was like, well, why do you think I got into peds? And he said that to Joe. I'm like, that's not the person you say that to. But then he got into peds before he met her. So I was like, okay.
But also it was cute, like a cute little joke.
In relationships, cute. I'm too like crazy and possessive. Like,
too soon. but you know too, like you see him like bonding a lot with his patients, and he, you know, he even like in the line for the head CTs, you know, he's right, like, "I will fight you."
Yes,
you. There are no cuts. I was a wrestler in high school. Right? There are no cuts, and it was just kind of cute. He does get very protective, and he is like such a kind of like, you know, of like a father figure for all of these patients, and he, you know, is a friend. And, well, I guess more of like a big protective brother, I would say, because he really like tries to get to know them and relate to them,
and they get start, their they like him too. And,
yeah, so they like feel the really little, comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the little boy when he gave like the thumbs up after that, he's like, and then he stared Owen down. Like,
yeah, don't mess with me, my daughter will get you. But it's really cute to see that, and it's just it also makes you feel for those patients. And I think it's been a while that we've had an emotional patient story where you get really invested into these patients, and I definitely was with this kid. I mean, we don't know what medicine he's on. He could have a blood clot, he could have, you know, it could be blood thinners. We don't want this kid to bleed out, we don't want him to have a stroke, he's in kindergarten. We don't want to see anything bad happen to anyone, much less the little kid. And so, you know, of course we're left with, we don't know what Alex decided to do. Hopefully he decided, hopefully whatever he did it was the right thing.
It was just so nerve-wracking. And then they end with that. And I mean, I know it's the finale and we need a cliffhanger, but like, did it have to be that?
Right.
And then I felt bad because as we were watching, I'm like, is someone going to die or something?
Yeah.
And then it's like, you guys are putting the child's life on the line. Like, I didn't mean that. I wanted to take it back after that when I said that. Like, no, you guys can't do the kid, because it's like, it's right down to the minute. Like, he has the medicine. He's decided, like, to go ahead and give it to him, but it's not the right thing to do.
Or we don't know which one he's giving. Because I think that it's like, it's one or the other, wasn't it?
I think it was like either give it to him or don't give it to him.
Oh, I thought there was two different ones. Okay.
Maybe
I don't know. You guys can correct us in the comments, but I can't. I was too like freaked out about
Same.
Everything that I can't remember what that was. But
I hope that.
I don't know, but you know, you got to give it to Joe. She was like diligent to find out who gave it, what happened, and she was really like running around trying to find that answer. And as she's, you know, sending the message and coming off the elevator, boom, what we've been asking for and wondering since for the last, the season, you know,
started.
since last season ended.
Yeah.
And, you know, everything actually. Like, when is this guy coming back? And lo and behold, there he is.
And he just came out of
the ex husband is back.
The title of the episode.
Yep. Out of nowhere. Boom. Ties it all in. And, you know, and Brooke, you know, that's her real name.
Yes.
You know.
Because I was like, Brooke.
So he's like, hi, Brooke. Oh, wait, it's Joe now. So we don't know how long he's known.
Yeah.
How did he know that? Is he part of the whole hacker scheme? Is that, is he behind it all? I don't know.
That's so scary. Because right when I just paused a few minutes ago, it was because I was like, okay, are we going to go into talking about Joe? Because the thing was, I was saying, I hope Joe can get to Karev in time to tell him to stop and maybe not give that medicine. And then it popped in like, oh, but then she ran into her husband. And that just totally, totally shook her.
I mean, she froze and it was, you know, kind of like she got disoriented. Yes. Like, it's just, I mean, I can't even imagine what that would be like. Somebody that you've been, you know, hiding from, terrified from, all of a sudden is in your face and just two sentences can basically like lay out like, I know about you. I know what you're doing. It's really, really scary.
She looked like she was possibly going to pass out.
Yeah. And the interesting like thing is like, we don't know who's overtaken this hospital, who's taken this hospital hostage. Mm-hmm. We don't know how deep they've like delved into people's backgrounds, records, whatever. We don't know like what information they're using, withholding, whatever. So we don't know how this all happened. And we have to wait till January 18th to find out the update of what's happening.
That's too long.
Not okay. But she did. She absolutely looked. We've got our chat roll back. She absolutely looked.
It was down for a little while. Yeah. Sorry about that.
Yeah. She absolutely looked terrified and, like I said, definitely disoriented. And it's just like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's so preoccupied. What's going to happen? Is she going to be okay? Like, what's, I don't know. Like I said before, like a couple episodes back, like I really want to see her just kind of like punch him in the face or like something.
Mm-hmm. So hopefully maybe she'll like kind of snap out of.
Yeah. Out of that disorientation and kind of like get it, to.
Yeah. That introduction of him did not go the way. I thought it was great. I wanted Karev to be around when it happened, you know, to protect her. And like right now, his priority is someplace else.
Right.
You know, so.
And again, like, it makes you think like, where was this guy lurking? Like, what was he doing? Like, how did he pick? Like, how was he happen to be standing outside that elevator? How did he? Because he just walked up like as soon as the doors opened, you know, boom. So it just makes you, you know, with crazy psycho people, like, you don't know, like, how long has he been lurking there? How long has he been watching her run around and, like, to pick that moment to do that? I thought it was, like, great. Because I honestly, like, last episode, I was kind of like, meh. Mm-hmm. The beginning of this, it was, like, scary and, like, all that stuff. And I was like, eh. But it definitely ended strong.
Yes. Yeah.
The ending was
like, okay, I'm back.
Yeah.
Because I'll be honest, like, the whole episode, I was kind of like, okay.
Yeah.
Where's that OMG moment, as I keep calling it. I mean, that's what Sean didn't call it for TGIT. But I'm like, okay, where's the OMG moment?
I know. And he was like so creepily like nice. Yeah. Like, hey.
And then they hit me with it. Like,
gross. I don't know. But it's like so many weeks. So many weeks until we've got like, oh, I don't know.
My nerves are going to be bad that whole time. I'm not going to be able to enjoy my holiday. I'm going to be worried about Joe.
I know. Worried about Frankie. Worried about Frankie. Joe. What's going to happen? I don't know. Well, let's get into some predictions and see what we think is going to happen.
I don't want them to... Okay.
hold, slow your roll.
Prediction. I don't want anything to happen to Frankie.
Right.
But.
No, but.
I feel like, because I felt like it was either give him the medicine or not give him the medicine. And Karev was going towards going in to give him the medicine. And Joe can't get there in time. Mm-hmm. Like, unless there's some miracle that he has this feeling like, you know what? No, let's not do it. Mm-hmm. But like the whole thing, the way they're setting it up is like Joe has to be the one to tell him like, well, no, he had the medicine already. And that's not going to happen. So I'm very nervous for Frankie. I feel like. Because it's a child, but at the same time, it's been a while. And we keep saying this since we've had like that very dramatic situation on Grey's Anatomy. You know what I mean? Or that loss that's just like,
right?
Oh my gosh. You know what I mean? So I don't know. It might be.
I don't know. Frankie. I don't want to. No, they can't start killing kids. Like, they come on. No.
It just it might get really bad.
Well, and the thing about like Joe, like I wonder, and maybe it was just like a part that I missed, but I don't. I know she had talked about filing for divorce. Had she already done it? It was maybe like that how? Because like somebody on the chat roll was saying like she had already filed for divorce and maybe that got notified. Mm-hmm. But I didn't think that had happened yet. Yeah, I mean, she had made the decision.
To do it.
But if... And maybe it didn't. They just decided not to show it. But mm-hmm. I kind of wanted to see the process and her kind of like seeing what the, you know, what her the advice was going to be from like lawyers and like mm-hmm. all of that. Like I was kind of interested to kind of see what that was going to be. So maybe they didn't show it. Maybe she already did do it. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But
I was thinking also with that, if she legally changed her name. Because if she didn't, she would still go by Brooke and everything. So. If that's the case, how does he know about Joe?
Right. I don't know.
So.
I don't know. TBD.
Yeah, I know. So I feel like you said, I feel like he kind of has been lurking around mm-hmm. and waiting for the right moment. So maybe she did go through with the divorce and then that just sparked it up. Like, you know what? Okay, let me go ahead and pop up on her.
Right.
Because I've been watching her for a while.
Right. And we have another character that's going to pop out too. Bethany Jo Lenz from One Tree Hill.
Oh, like, yes. That's
like,
right.
Going to be coming on. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see kind of what part she plays. Yeah. And if she's connected to Joe or like who she's connected to, kind of like how it all ties in or you know, what's going to happen with that. Yeah. So. You know,
I forgot about that they were bringing her in.
Yeah.
I liked her in One Tree Hill, so I'm excited about that. Yeah.
I'm excited to see kind of like what her character is going to be and kind of how long she sticks around. So we'll see.
I'm just very nervous. I really don't have
more
predictions. I'm just very nervous.
There's tons to be nervous about. And, you know, we'll see. We'll see if like the divorce process has started or if this guy's just crazy and he, you know, her worst nightmare is being revealed. Yeah. We'll see if poor Frankie. You know, pulls through.
I hope
and,
he does.
You know, we'll see what happens with these hackers. And we'll find out if, you know, anyone we know is behind it or how it all happened.
Yeah.
And, you know, or if it was as simple as they announced the contest so somebody thought they could take advantage. Mm-hmm. And, I don't know. Maybe Aretha Franklin will come in and save the day.
Maybe. But we kind of just real quick, just to touch on that.
Yeah.
Once Bailey did make the decision to go ahead and like, okay, I'm going to call Aretha Franklin. and Jackson wasn't able to answer the phone.
Yep. So what's going to happen? What's going to happen?
Ooh.
I don't know. There's so much.
January 18th.
So much in the air. January 18th, guys. I don't know. But definitely, as always, thanks for hanging out with us. And you can find us at AfterBuzz TV and also go to the YouTube channel. Definitely leave comments. We can continue the conversation and all the theories there until January 18th when we all can come back.
Yeah.
And we will hopefully be back with a full panel.
Yes.
Because you know how I love fighting with Timothy. So this would have been a good one.
I was just going to say that. This one would have been so good.
But again, make sure to catch me online at Kelly with an IE079.
And you guys can catch me on Instagram and on Twitter at ElmarieTV.
Happy holidays, everybody, and we'll see you next year.
Happy holidays.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.